Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them and turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Today we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 26. While you turn there, I'll ask a few questions. What do you hope in every day? What gives life meaning and causes your soul to turn in excitement? And what actually do you find energy to move through every day? What gives you the strength to go about your life? What do you hope in? The Apostle Peter writes in his epistle to encourage elect exiles, those who are chosen, but those who are wandering. And he says to those who wander, he tells them of their living hope that's found in Christ's resurrection from the dead. And amazingly, today we hear a similar exhortation from Genesis chapter 4. We hear of those who seek hope in the world and those who seek hope in the Savior, in the seed that is promised. And today we find where our hope is to be set and what is to encourage us in our day today. But let me pray, and then I'll read Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 through 26, and we'll jump in. But let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word. We do pray that your Holy Spirit might come and tend us. Lord, we pray that you would till up our fallow ground, and we pray that you would plant the seeds of the gospel, and we pray that we might rise and leave here more encouraged and more looking and holding fast, not to this world, but to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. This is the Lord's word. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mehujael, and Mehujael fathered Methushael, and Methushael fathered Lamech. And Lamech took two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May he write his truth on our hearts. Well, brothers and sisters, today I have a proposition and 2 points, which are in your bulletin. The proposition, what the passage, what Moses is calling for the people to do in response to this is turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord, not doing what Cain seed did, not setting your hope in this world, but rather turn to the Lord, looking to the world to come. This passage calls us to turn to the Lord, not setting your hope in this world. See how verse 17 begins. Moses writes that Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, a little background. Last week we saw how Cain has killed his brother, well known among us. Cain kills his brother, and the Lord addresses him with a question: where is your brother? Cain lies and mocks. He says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? He lies to the Lord, and he mocks his brother's profession. His brother, a keeper of sheep, and here Abel, whom he should have kept, he mockingly says, I am not to keep him. And the Lord issues forth the judgment upon him. He says, verse 11, you are cursed from the ground. Just as the serpent was cursed, so now Cain receives a curse upon himself. And he says, verse 12, when you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. These words, you shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And most significantly, the Lord not only casts judgment upon Cain, but he gives him mercy. He gives him mercy when he says, verse 15, Cain issues forth his sorrow for the judgment, that whoever finds me will kill me. Verse 15, then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain to protect him. Now, isn't it amazing that we have judgment and mercy upon Cain, but then Cain's response in verse 16 is to leave the Lord. Notice that he did not, that the grace and judgment that the Lord gave to Cain did not deter his heart from hardening against the Lord and leaving the Lord. Verse 16, then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. He has hardened his heart, and now we see what this man who has left in his own volitional, hardened will, left the Lord, what he does. And in verse 17, we see a repeat of chapter 4, verse 1. Adam knew his wife, she conceived and bore Cain, and now we see the propagation of the seed of Cain, the seed of the devil, is being propagated in the world. In verse 17, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. The promise is coming true. Genesis 3:15, the offspring of the devil is spreading in the world. And the event itself is darkness, as we'll see here momentarily. But significantly, did you see what happened in verse 17? In verse 17, it says, so she conceived and bore Enoch, but then you get that little phrase in verse 17, when he built a city, he built a city. He called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Why is that significant for the genealogy of Cain? Why? Because God had promised to Cain that he would be a wanderer, that he would have no rest. But he builds a place of rest, a place that was sure, a place that was steadfast, a city, a place to defend him from all his vulnerabilities. Here we see that the seed of Cain and Cain himself is seeking security. But where does he seek security? It's no longer in the presence of the Lord. Cain seeks security in the world in which he dwells. Since he would no longer dwell in God's presence, he had to make his own security. The Lord had told him, I've set a mark upon you. It will keep you secure. But he says, I do not trust him. I will provide for myself a city to dwell in. Just consider what a city is. A city is a place of walls and fortification. It is, in a manner hitherto unknown in the world. And here we have both the promise that he would be a wanderer, and the insecurity of Cain and not trusting the Lord. And the result is he's trying to find a hiding place. Everyone in this world hides somewhere. Everyone in this world has a refuge somewhere, something they trust in and hold fast to and find security in. And you know when someone's hope and security is being messed with, when their Cain city is being touched, because they go bananas. We can identify with Cain, can't we? We know the feeling of vulnerability. We know that when our transgressions are revealed, the feelings it brings. The insecurity. We have not only the insecurity from our sin, we have the insecurity from living in a world that's full of sin. We live with a bunch of sinners, and that's hard. Then we have not only our sin, not only the world and all its fallenness and its sin, but then we have the threat of death that ever lingers with us. We are of all men, as one Greek poet had said long ago, that against all ills it is possible to provide an escape. But as far as our mortality is concerned, men live in a city without walls. We are insecure at every level when it comes to speaking of death. And here Cain, in his own effort, tries to build himself a place of security. Sometimes you can find Christians in these cities of Cain who are not finding security and promise and in the gospel, but are finding security in the things around them. Just momentarily consider that, how much security would we have if our bank accounts were much smaller than they are now? How much security would we have if we lost our job? If our marriage had more tension than it currently does? How much security do we find in our families being healthy? Our children being healthy? How much does our world revolve around the things in this world? Where is our security? You have to love the 16th century. The Heidelberg Catechism: what is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear that city of refuge. Hear the refuge of the Christian as opposed to the refuge of the non-Christian. Cain built a city. And he built a city to protect him from all his insecurities, verse 14. But in verse 19, we see that Cain's progeny continued Cain's trust in himself. See what verse 19 says. We have the climax in a particular individual in Cain's progeny. His name is Lamech, and he says in verse 19, and Lamech took two wives, the name of the one Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. Notice that first phrase, and Lamech took two wives. He defies what the prescription of Genesis 2. That though the Lord declared through Adam, the two shall become one flesh, setting forth the marriage union as between one man and one woman, here we have Lamech taking two wives. But not only that, in verses 23 and 24, Lamech boasts of murder and mocks the Lord. Notice that he has dissuaded himself of Genesis 1:28, that God made man in his image, and then he mocks trusting in himself. See what he says? He says, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, and a young man for striking me. And then he mocks. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. He is far from terrified of God's commands and ordinances. He is in utter rebellion to them. He is independent and sufficient. He said, even if he's a young man, I can take him. He said, I am easily agitated, and I am sufficient for the task. A man who trusts in himself. William Ernest Henley, I've mentioned him before, in his poem Invictus, that last line says it all. He says, William Ernest Henley joined Lamech in his Genesis 4 quote when he wrote Invictus, and he said, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Those who seek refuge in this world are ultimately those who are hoping in themselves, their performance, their ability to create Eden. Lamech was sure that no ills would prevail against his ability, but oh, how wrong he is. This day he is plagued with a memory of how wrong and futile his strength is. Well, brothers and sisters, I would like to just momentarily, the Lord Jesus, when he was exhorting the Pharisees, he said in John chapter 8, verse 23, he told the Pharisees, he said, "You are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world." And he has this phrase, and he said, "I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Hear the offer of the refuge and the terror of not refuge. There's a prepositional phrase that's qualifying die. Die where? In your sin. It is a particular death that Jesus speaks of. And it's the death of those who are of this world and not of His world. The Savior Himself calls to them, "For unless you believe, you will die in your sin." Let us not be as Cain, setting our hope in this world, but let us set our hope in the Savior in the world to come. So, brothers and sisters, turn to the Lord, not setting your hope in this world and looking to the world to come. Much shorter point. Verse 25, see what happens. It says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, 'God has appointed another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him.'" Notice the contrast. There's Cain's seed, verse 17 through 24, and then there's the woman's seed, Seth. And notice the joy that this is bringing. Verse 25, there's a comfort that comes to our first parents. Adam knew his wife again. Notice, it almost tells you of a time they had abated relations in order because of sorrow. And here the Lord comforts Adam and Eve with another seed, a godly seed, the birth of a son who's of the line of Abel, of the same faith, a man of character and godliness. And Seth's name in itself is telling. Seth means to be set. To be settled. Whereas while Cain was to wander, Seth would be fixed. While Cain and his offspring would be as shifting sand, trying to establish their own kingdom in this world, Seth would bring forth a kingdom that would have no end. He was settled because of his generations and line would endure forever. In Seth's offspring, there was a place of true refuge. There is security against ills. There's so many false hopes in the world. But here, this hope renewed. Verse 26, it says, "To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord." In the midst of all the darkness of verses 17 through 24 and Cain's seed, we see the light shining in this other seed. That after Cain comes wonderful news, gospel news. When the state of religion in the world was going in darkness and all Cain's seed seemed to be like Lamech, you see revival break forth. The first revival in world history comes with the birth of an offspring. And God's gospel spreads through the world and people believe and call upon Him. When the state of religion is in peril, we need to see the manner of its saving is through the offspring. It is through the gospel hope and the power of God's Spirit that revival comes. It's exactly what happens here. God's offspring renews the hope in His promise, and belief in that promise produces revival throughout the land. We dwell in a land full of darkness and full of idols. And we are called to hold fast to the promise of our Savior who has come and dispelled our darkness with His light. Let's pray.